Okay, 3, 2.
3, 2, hit it!
It's time to double down with Max and Stacy on Sputnik Radio. Now, later on in the show, we're going to be talking to David Morgan. But first, Stacy.
Max, it's the midterm elections here in the United States. A lot of stuff is happening. Interest rates are rising. And you know what? Stock markets actually were soaring the day before the election because the headline on Zero Hedge reads, "Stock surge after latest poll shows GOP retaining the House." U.S. equity markets ramped into the green. Even NASDAQ recovered from its Apple beating. As the final Rasmussen Report's generic congressional ballot before Election Day shows Republicans edging ahead by 1 point. So apparently that was sending stock markets higher. They thought there was going to be less, conflict in the House. What do you think about this?
Well, similar to 2016, you know, markets were indicating that Republicans were going to win. And then Trump won, and the market's been on a tear. And anybody, you know, if anybody out there wants to keep their job, you know, they created millions and millions of jobs, why they would vote against that. So, but who knows? The power of persuasion is strong with the opposition.
I think it's time now to go to our guest. Are you in Seattle, David Morgan?
No, Spokane, the east side of the state, right on the Idaho border.
Ah, okay. What do you think about right now the U.S. economy? Is it actually booming? Is it a Trump economy? Is it, you know, left over from Obama's economy? What's going on?
Well, it's better than it was. There's a lot of, I'd say there's a little more anticipation of what's to come than what's actually reality. In other words, the stock market, I think, is overstating the physical economy. But I think the trend has been up. I think it's sustainable, but I don't think it's as robust as the numbers would show you.
Now, we also reported recently that the credit cycle has turned. We were talking to Alistair McLeod of goldmoney.com, and he said the credit cycle has turned. We've had 37 years of ever-declining interest rates. Do you think it's possible that actually the credit cycle has turned and there's no turning back, that in fact interest rates are only going to rise from here, and that if that happens, basically all bets are off for the global economy and an overly debt-saturated economy, by the way, where, you know, debt has basically doubled since the last financial crisis?
I agree with Alistair. We have, if you chart it out, and I do, you know, fundamental and technical analysis, as you well know, it has broken that line. So technically, there's no doubt. I mean, it's a look, see, show me, there it is. However, is that it never to turn back? Usually there's what's called a sine wave top, where you get kind of a up and down. It kind of feels for the market, especially a market that's been that robust for almost 40 years. So I don't anticipate that this is it. It's only up from here, but I do anticipate that we are topping and that we're probably looking at higher interest rates down the road. But I think it will be a little bit of back and forth, ebb and flow for a while. I think the overall picture, as I said about the stock market, is that the debt markets, of course, are hugely encumbered. As you stated, we're up about double from the 2008 crisis, which means the next time, number one, you have legislation from the legislators in the United States that you cannot have a bail in anymore, which means, a bail out anymore, which means a bail in. And of course, that means that anyone potentially that has a non-secured credit line with a bank, in other words, their deposit, is at risk. And this is something that most people don't even know about. They're unaware of it, and they're not taking, in my view, prudent precautions in that possibility. And this is something, again, that shows like yours, what you and Max do, people like me, Alistair and others, that say, look, this is the reality that we're in. You know, we are in uncharted waters in the financial system globally. And if you don't understand it, you better listen to somebody that does so that you can take necessary measures before things happen.
Right, David. Globally, you've got Russia and China building an alternative to the SWIFT system. Of course, the SWIFT, Belgium money transfer system that countries use to move money around. And it's part of the $5 to $6 trillion a day money market, Forex market. And they are fed up with the dollar. They're fed up of all the sanctions and the censoring, financial sanctions. And they figure, you know what, why don't we just build our own system? We don't need the SWIFT system. That removes the U.S.'s ability to impose the U.S. dollar on the world. And if the U.S. dollar is no longer obligated to buy dollars or get, you know, bombed by the Pentagon, as Paul Krugman tells us over there at the New York Times, what does this say about the dollar? I mean, dollar's been rallying. It's at some pretty significant highs because emerging markets, various other markets are in free fall. But at the same time, you got this pressure of these countries to engage in alternative payment systems. And they're also, I should add, hoarding hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of tons of gold, David Morgan.
Absolutely, Max. Well, first part of the question is, you know, what do you do when you do what the big boys have done? China and Russia, there's only really two ways to exit the dollar. One is to buy gold. Both Russia and China have continually bought gold year over year for quite some time. The other way is to find an alternative currency, which, of course, Bitcoin and the cryptos represent. Nation state really can't do that at this point. However, what they can do is make a system that's outside of the U.S. dollar-based system, which, as you said, is an alternative to the Swiss system. They have the Asia Infrastructure Investment Bank. They're taking a lot of their treasuries or U.S. debt and converting it into basically assets in the ground. And that's really a good way to store metals or other assets such as oil or gas. I mean, if you own the property and you have the patent or unpatented land and you have the leasing agreement, you own that stuff and basically it's being warehoused for you. So that's what the Chinese at large have done all over the world, particularly paying more attention to Africa than most nation states. So that's, I think, part of the answer. The other part is, where does the dollar go? I'm a big believer of the liquidity crisis that John Exter so eloquently put forth so many years ago. And I think there'll be a run to the dollar before there's a run to gold. Only, Max, because of the inability of the general populace to understand finance and what a currency crisis really entails. So let me elaborate a little bit. As people seek safety, the perceived safe investment they can make, or the safest place they can be in a liquidity squeeze, is the U.S. dollar. You look at Venezuela, what are they using? U.S. dollar. Argentina, U.S. dollar. Iran, you know, anywhere you go, it's the dollar. Physical bills that are coveted as the means of payment of last resort. That's really true until the end. And the end is where we're at now. As we said in the film, The Four Horsemen, I mean, at the end of the Age of Empire, we're looking at a dollar from the 1913 status of 100 cents. It's now roughly worth 2.5 cents. So we're arguing, not arguing, but we're discussing what happens in the last 2.5 pennies. And does it go fast or does it go slow? The answer is no one knows. I think it'll go fast once the smart money moves from the dollar into gold. So once you go to a run to the dollar, then you will see at the same time for a while a run to gold. So what will happen is you'll see the dollar going up vis-a-vis other currencies on a global basis and gold going up at the same time. And some of my peers will say, wait a minute, you can't see the dollar and gold go up at the same time. You can. And then that inevitable point will happen. I say inevitable. I believe it's inevitable that you'll see the run to gold because they'll get rid of dollars. They, meaning nation states, money markets, individuals, hedge funds, you name it. They're going to go, the dollar is really going down this time. I've got to get out. I've got to go somewhere. And there isn't many places to go. It's basically go to gold. So the run to gold will be, in my view, something of a historic move that we've probably never seen in financial history in a very long time.
Yeah, you mentioned the film, The Four Horsemen. I should mention that it's on YouTube, and I think it's got over 8 million views. So a lot of people have seen that film, and so it has done a good job in educating folks about some of these issues we've been talking about. So what about gold, David? Oil. So with oil, interesting there, because it's in the spotlight. A lot of shenanigans over in Saudi Arabia. Saudis seem to be wanting to curry favor with the global community by buying some goodwill, by lowering the price of oil. Maybe they'll cut them some slack as they investigate the recently murdered journalist. What do you see oil medium term?
Medium term, Max, I think it's going to come down. I say that only because I'm so confident that we're going to see a recession in 2019, somewhere during the year. I think the Fed will have to admit that we are in a downturn. And usually in a downturn, there's less economic activity on a global basis, which portends lower oil prices. I'm still an oil bull or an energy bull, and I'm going to be starting a newsletter based on energy, actually. I'm going to launch it in London at the end of this month. But back to your question, it is the most important resource, and it's really, again, like the topping movement we were talking about in the stock market or the bond market. Oil is kind of the best indicator of the global health of the economy. The problem is that there's these hot spots that can erupt out of nowhere, being the Middle East or other areas where all of a sudden you can get a price spike pretty quickly. Even though it's a massive market, it still moves at the margin. And a significant player in that space, such as the Saudis, can make the market move either direction rather rapidly.
In terms of rapid movements and basically geopolitics, Donald Trump has, of course, had a unique sort of negotiating style on the geopolitical and geoeconomic world stage, renegotiating all sorts of trade deals and ripping up old trade deals and apparently starting new ones and stuff like that. He has started a trade war with China, and there are all sorts of tariffs on them, and now we have sanctions on Iran that also started this week. So do you think that China trade war is going to have any impact, or many people are saying that actually China's losing that trade war, very bad factories and start working again. China faces a future where all their factories are going to be idled and all those workers unemployed. So how do you see that trade war going with China?
Well, I concur with what you outlined, Stacey. We've written about it in the Morgan Report, and trade wars don't really, there is no such thing as winning a trade war, really. I mean, in the long term, you really want free markets to determine what the price of their good or service is, and don't add on anything to it and let the market decide what the best movement of goods and services are. But that aside, this is not going to end well. I think that it may be a move that Trump perhaps knows more about than we see at first blush. I mean, certainly the art of the deal. He certainly knows how to negotiate. It could be a chess move with two more behind it. I'm not implying that that's exactly the case. I don't know. At face value, surface value, it's not really going to bode well for either party. I mean, it could help the U.S. on a temporary basis, bring more jobs home, as you outlined, and look good for a while. But really, everyone prospers best when we build things that people need and want versus building up the other side, which is the military-industrial base, so that we can start shooting at each other. And unfortunately, history is pretty clear on which direction it goes, and it seems to be going the latter, unfortunately.
So let's tie all of those together, because Paul Volcker, who was chairman of the Federal Reserve up until 1987, I guess, he's got a book out now, and he posits that America basically has a massive problem, and it's called plutocracy, and that essentially the vote that we're doing today, Tuesday, November 6th, that doesn't matter, because what matters is who owns the politicians. Do you agree with that? And does it matter whether the Republicans or Democrats win the House? And would anything change on economic policy?
Well, you ask hard questions. Well, first of all, you know how tall I am because you've met me several times, and Mr. Volcker certainly is much taller than I am. But first thing I do is probably kick him in the kneecaps for selling most of this nation's silver, most of the heritage of our country, at 92.5 cents per ounce. So that's number one. I mean, for me, it's rather ludicrous this late in the game to say it's a plutocracy and sound money is, you know, something to look at. I mean, people that have devoted their entire lives to that, like myself, excuse the ego, but I think we stand with far more integrity than someone like Volcker. Having said all of that, yes, I think that we need to get back to principled finance and principled government. As far as where do I stand on it politically, it's a really tough call, Stacey and Max, but here's my take. Number one, I am very grateful that Mr. Trump is in the office. Number two, what I don't see happening is the bigger, big picture, which means not so much financially, although you think that'd be right where I drill down. It's really what's happening on the, what I call the police state, where you have the NSA and the proof of who you are through a national ID card, where you have the 5G rollout, where you have frequencies that are compatible to the ability to control your basic control movement and thought. I mean, these are things that are going forward under the Trump administration that may have greater repercussions on the general populace than just whether or not we have a better government, so to speak. We got to look at the bigger picture.
All right, David Morgan, we got to leave it there. I'm going to look up the Volcker and Silver connection. I didn't know about that, actually. Thanks for being on Double Down with Max and Stacy. Until next week, bye, y'all.